you better come running if Old Smiling Ed and his Buster Brown gang.
That's the gang of Buster Brown is on the air. That's the gang of Buster Brown is on the air. We'll ask the product and sing and play. Come on, you buddies and stop. Hey, Buster Brown is on the air. Hello, kids. Hello, mother. Hello, daddy. Hello, grandmother. Hello, granddad. Kids and uncles and nieces and nephews and cousins and brothers and sisters and hey,
everybody. This is your old buddy Smiling Ed and all his big Buster Brown gang. Squeaky the Mouse, Midnight the Cat, Randy the Talking Piano, and Froggy the Gremlin cutting up over there out here in Hollywood all ready for another good old Saturday morning frolic. Oh, we're going to have a great time today, kids. Have a wonderful story for you. And Midnight the Cat's going to play a little cigar box fiddle for us. Froggy the Gremlin's going to play his thingamajig and sing. And we're just going to have a whale of a time in general. So let's get started with one of our good old dog songs. Here we go. I got a dog named Rover. Here, Rover, come, Rover. He roams around all over, just home 3 times a day. Oh, I'll bet he hears me whistling. See, the neighbors are listening. What do you mean you lost your dog? I hear the people say. Has anybody here seen Rover? I'm looking for him now all over. He's a hunting dog, all right. He keeps me hunting day and night. This is what I worry over. Say, who put that roving Rover? My whistle's getting dry. It seems as if I hear that mongrel whine. I should worry like a tree and have somebody trimming me. Where's that doggone, doggone dog of mine? Oh, my, it's bad to lose our dog. But Buddy's old Smiling Ed doesn't want you to lose your very last chance to get Smiling Ed's Buster Brown 36-page comic book number 9 absolutely free. And this is one time it'll be a pleasure for Mother to take you to your Buster Brown dealers, because all of my buddies will need going back to school shoes. And, of course, if you're one of the Buster Brown gang, you want genuine Buster Brown shoes with that grown-up style. So tell Mother today to take you to your Buster Brown dealer's School Days Jamboree so you can get your new shoes for school and get your free copy of our Buster Brown comic book number 9 with those 3 new exciting stories. Don't forget, too, kids, that these swell shoes for our School Days Jamboree have been named for the members of our Buster Brown program. Froggy the Gremlin is getting awfully cocky because he's sure more of you kids are going to pick Froggy's favorite. But the dealers tell me that my buddies are also picking Midnight Masterpiece and Squeaky Standout and Smiling Ed Sweetheart and all the other wonderful new Buster Brown shoes for fall. Whichever side you like best, remember they're all good old Buster Brown shoes. And I know every one of my buddies and sweethearts can find just the kind of shoes they'll be proud to go back to school in at your nearest Buster Brown shoe store during our big School Days Jamboree. And now, let's get into our story so we'll have time for everything else we want to do. Here it is. Well, kids, our story today takes us to our Southern American neighbor for a story of the South American Indians. The story began when a Carib Indian named Juan wandered into a tiny restaurant in a back street in Rio de Janeiro just to have a cup of coffee.
Amigo, what do you wish? Oh,
coffee, strong coffee. Señorita, do you not come from the up country? You are not always in Rio, eh?
Oh, si. My people live on the Rio Negro. But my father come to Rio maybe 6, 8 years ago.
Oh, I have been here longer. 12 years.
What?
I come too from a country near the Rio Negro. I am a Carib. And you?
I am an Arawak.
Bueno, your people and my people are always at war, eh? But you and me, amigos, ¿sí?
Sí, we are friends.
I am called Juan.
I am called Maria.
Bueno, we are friends.
Sí, here is your coffee.
Gracias. You like the city?
I hate the city. See, Rio is fine if you have mucho dinero. Without money, no. Often I wish I could go back to my people.
When I lived in the village of my people, there I was a P.I. man, a medicine man. Why, yes, with my people I was a great one.
A P.I. man? Oh, but Juan, you do not believe these magic things any longer, do you?
No, I know magic is for the ignorant people. But of the spirits our people believe in, no, these are false.
See, I believe as you do. Well, I have work to do. You will come again, Juan?
See, I will come here often, Maria. We talk more about our people, eh?
And so Juan and Maria became good friends. Then one day, a newspaper article caught Juan's attention, and he showed it to Maria.
See, Maria, in the newspaper, this man traveled through the jungles and on the Rio Negros and down to the great Amazon. And in the paper, it tells some of the things he saw there.
Ah, what good is he but animals and snakes and Indians such as we?
No. See here, he tells he visited an Indian village and the people were wearing diamonds for ornaments.
Diamonds? Diamonds I have seen in a store here in Rio. So many pesos they cost. How could people like yours and mine buy diamonds? No, this is a lie.
No, Maria. See, here is a picture of one of these diamonds. Look.
That is a diamond? Oh, no, Juan. That is no diamond.
See, this is the way the diamond looks when it is dug from the ground. This is what the people here in Rio do to it that makes it look like the diamonds in the stores. Look, Maria, how it says in the paper. The rough diamond must be cut and polished.
Juan, this is for us to think about. In my village, we had stones like these. Not many, for they are hard to find, and it is much work to dig for them. But they are to be found near my people's village.
Hey, Maria, if we could go and get some, we could be rich too, eh?
Juan, some way. There must be some way.
We could go and dig them up?
No. We must make people dig them for us. Juan, my mind is working. You are a PI man, huh?
Si, but Maria, magic is foolishness.
Wait. It is foolishness to us, si. But to your people or to my people, the magic of the PI man is strong, important.
Si.
Juan, in a month, the people of the United States called July. On the fourth day, I worked at the home of some wealthy people. Visitors from the United States were there. And a great celebration was held with fire.
With fire?
See, what is called fireworks.
Fireworks? What is this?
Oh, strange things. I do not understand them. But when the matches are lighted and touched to a little string on the end, then the fire comes.
Maria, is this perhaps really a magic?
Oh, no, Juan. It is. Well, it is very nice to see, that is all. It does not hurt you.
But what is in your mind, Maria?
I know where are stored in this rich man's house much of these fireworks. We could steal them. And I think they will get for us some of these diamonds.
Maria, you are making a joke with one.
No, I make no joke. I have a great plan. You will once again be a PI man. And I will be a spirit, a fire spirit. We will frighten the Indians and make them dig the diamond for us.
And so Juan and Maria disappeared from Rio, and as far as that lovely city was concerned, they were never seen again. Perhaps a year later, in Belém, Brazil, an American mining engineer named Carl Banks and his young son John sat in the office of an official of the police, and the official had bad news for them.
I am so sorry, Senor Banks, but I have only bad news to report.
Then you found no trace of my associate, Fred Barnes?
Quite the contrary. We found definite traces. We found the wreck of the airplane in which he flew over the Negros River territory.
Mr. Barnes is a very capable pilot. He flew his own plane and planned to land on the rivers. There are plenty wide for a small plane.
I have instructions from my government to aid you in all possible ways. But I know nothing of the trouble.
Oh, I'll gladly tell you. Mr. Barnes and myself represent a large American firm which is interested in mineral deposits of all kinds. We were to investigate this area for iron, copper, oil, anything. Mr. Barnes went upriver to set up a camp from which we could work.
Oh, now I understand. But I am afraid I have been little help. The search party is saying your banks have failed.
Then there is nothing left for me to do but go upriver myself.
You will need men. I will get them for you.
No, I prefer to go alone. We're with my son.
The boy? But he is not even yet a young man.
Nevertheless, my Johnny is better in the jungle or on the big river than most men. We'll be all right, I assure you.
The next morning saw them in their launch and headed up the Amazon. Day after day, they moved along the great waterway, turning finally into the Rio Negro River and continuing their steady progress.
All right, son. Take this bend in the river easy. Maybe some submerged logs in a place like this. Watch it now. Okay, son. The river's clear
hey,
around.
Hey, Dad,
the...
look, right up ahead. Direct plane.
You're right, son. Head for it.
I'm going to cut the throttle. Come around, Dad. I'll pull up alongside of the plane's pontoon.
Okay.
Hey, there's a big croc lying in the water right beside the plane.
I see him. Just let the boat drift slowly. I'll send him on his way with a boat hook. Okay, now, hold it.
Look out, Daddy. It's a customer.
boat.
I'll take care of him.
Well, you've got him, Dad.
Yeah. Luckily, he exposed his soft underside. I don't think this pistol would penetrate that armor-plated back of his. Okay, now, son. Let's tie up the launch and inspect the wrecked plane.
As the launch slipped up the river toward the wrecked plane, neither John nor his dad realized that they passed a fairly good-sized village of Arawak Indians, situated just a few hundred feet from the river in the jungle. A man and a woman stood in one of the village huts talking.
Maria, now again we must do something. Lately the people have not been working so hard.
It is true, Juan. And much digging must be done to get even one small rock diamond.
See, we do not grow rich as rapidly as we hope, do we, Maria?
No. Only 9 small diamonds for a full year's work. But we will keep at it.
See if we can keep these foolish ones digging.
We will keep them digging. Tonight, Juan, I think the fire spirit should come. And then we throw the captured white man to the crocodiles. That should be good sport. And a good lesson also to the Indians to prove to them that we are dangerous.
Oh, that is a good plan, see. I wondered how long you meant to keep the captive one around here. I was beginning to...
One, gunshots from the riverbank nearby.
It would be more of the white men then.
Quickly, take men with blowguns. If there are many white men, kill them with poison darts. If there is only one as before, capture him also. And we will have more food for our crocodile friends.
And thus it was that Johnny and his dad, their guns resting in the launch, were suddenly surprised by a band of howling Indians while they inspected the wrecked plane. Quickly, the savages tied up Johnny and his father with tough vines and carried them back to the village. Maria and Juan waited for them.
Into the hut with him! Drag him with the other one!
Oh, the crocodiles will feast tonight!
Hey, let go of me! What's up? Get out of here.
John, are you all right?
Well, I'm bruised a little, but okay otherwise. It's so darn dark in this hut, I can't see a thing.
Carl Banks.
Fred Barnes. It is Fred Barnes.
Yes, it is me, Carl.
Gee, Mr. Barnes, you sound awful weak.
I am, boy. I've been tied like this now for weeks. Not too much food's come my way.
Great Scott, we came looking for you, and we've stuck our feet into the same trap.
Hey, Dad, I think I can get my hands loose. These vines they tied me with are slipping.
Good boy. Hand tied so tight I can hardly wink an eye.
Oh, that's not much use, I'm afraid. I cut myself to ribbons trying to get free until I became too weak to struggle. They won't last much longer, though. You heard, Juan. Tonight, the crocodile's feast.
Johnny struggled harder, but just as he stepped free from the last loosened vine, a crowd of Indians started for the hut in which he was held captive. He had just time to slip off the rear of the hut when they entered. They took his dad and Fred Barnes. The men were dragged to the center of the village near the fire, and there they were tied to a great post. As Johnny watched from the jungle edge, he saw Juan and Maria come out with a light.
But I tell you, Maria, the boy has escaped.
The boy, ah? What can a boy do in the jungle? In 2 days, he will be the prey of a snake or an animal or a blowgun.
Perhaps you are right. Very well. Talk to the people. Then I will signal the drum to start for the ceremony.
I go. People of Arawak! People of Arawak! The fire spirit has come to me again. This time the spirit tells me you do not work. No longer do you work hard, digging for the bright stone. And so again the fire spirit kills me with a fireball. Run!
Great spirit of fire!
Seek the fire!
Fear your mistress! And I bring a brand from the fire to light them.
Light them! See the fireballs! See them fly in the air! But you must suffer! There! A fireball is coming! Run now! See the punishment of the invaders! Loose the vines that hold the white ones to the world! Take them to the riverbank!
When John saw his father and Fred Barnes being pushed and hauled toward the riverbank, he was suddenly galvanized into action. Quickly, he scurried to the launch, still tied to the wrecked plane. For an idea occurred to him, and he knew he had little time left. The launch was equipped with everything you would expect a mining engineer to carry. Quickly, Johnny found 3 sticks of dynamite. And working like an expert, he fitted a detonating cap and a short fuse. Then a keg of black powder, blasting powder. he emptied it into an old flour sack. He scurried to the village, which was now deserted, so he could see the crowd at the riverbank. Quickly, he placed the dynamite beside the biggest hut in the village. Then, punching a hole in the bottom of the sack, he walked toward the crowd at the riverbank, leaving a heavy trail of black powder as he went.
So, white ones, you think to interfere with us, huh?
But we did not interfere. We did not even know of your village.
Ah, that is what the other white one said to us. Lies! You seek to deceive us.
No, no, we speak the truth. Free us and we'll go away.
And come back with more white men and many guns, huh? No. Tonight you go to the crocodiles. Drive him in the river!
Oh, no.
Ah!
Why, it's John. He should go on this. Hush, Fred. He's up to some trick. Listen.
Why do you offend me? I am the fire spirit.
Oh, this is the boy. Look, you, the young white one. Throw him out to the crocodile.
Stop! If you touch me, I will destroy the village.
The young one prattles. Throw him to the crocodile.
Wait! This woman claims to be the fire spirit. She lies. I am the fire spirit, and I will prove it. Release the two white men, or I will destroy the village, just like I will now destroy the biggest of your houses. Stevie!
This is a trick! It is a white man's little fire stick, that is all!
Now see! I send the fire snake to destroy the house! Wait! Wait! Watch the fire snake! Watch the big building! Now!
Mr. Barnes?
Oh, tip-top, Johnny, after a meal and a rest.
Oh, you can't kill this old campaigner, Johnny.
Oh, those Arawak Indians merely did. Till Johnny came along with his fire snake. Say, how the deuce did you do that trick, Johnny?
It was easy. I guess Dad knows, don't you, Dad?
Yes, I figured it out. A powder train along the ground and dynamite at the building. But where in the world did you get the idea?
Oh, shucks. That fire spirit dame scared the hats off the whole darn village with us. Couple of 4th of July Roman candles, so I figured I could do a swell job with 2 or 3 sticks of dynamite.
Well, I guess most of us will never get into the South American jungles, but I think Johnny and his fire snake gave us a good lesson in resourcefulness. And now, let's bring on our announcer man to tell us where to get Buster Brown's shoes. And after that, we're really going to have fun around here. And here he is. Come on in, Mr. Announcer.
Yes, Smiling Ed, I'll tell your buddies how to find the store that sells Buster Brown shoes. It's easy, kids. Here's all you have to do. Just pick up your telephone book, then turn to the yellow pages until you come to the heading of shoes. There, under the heading of shoes, you'll find the name Buster Brown. And right below that, the name and address of the store nearest you that sells these swell Buster Brown shoes. And kids, when Mother takes you in for fine new Buster Brown shoes, she can be sure that they'll be fitted scientifically in just the right size, width, and last you need to let your feet grow right. And believe me, that's something Mother will want to know. And remember, too, kids, that all the Buster Brown dealers are Smiling Ed's buddies. Now, when you find the name of the store nearest you, write it down and be all set to buy Smiling Ed's Buster Brown shoes.
Smiling Ed will know just where to get Buster Brown shoes. And now, I'll play my thingamajig. I have an idea. Now, Froggy the Gremlin, it's time for Midnight the Cat to play her little cigar box fiddle for us. You know that, don't you? Of course you do. Oh, certainly, Squeaky the Mouse. The girls always come first. So, Squeaky, you get over there and wind your little music box and have it play Mary Had a Little Lamb so Midnight can play his thing for you. Okay, go ahead, wind it up. That's it. Now you might break the spring. That's enough. Whoop. Midnight.
Yes.
Press that button with your hind foot. Go ahead. That's it. Put your fiddle under your chin. Oh, that's it. She's all set. Go ahead, little lamb. Get ready.
Oh, isn't she cute, huh? Little black kitty. Wagging her tail all the time.
Can I sing now?
Oh, yeah, go ahead and sing. Oh, yes, that's all right. Little music box running down. Just run it down.
Run down, run down.
There goes the music box. Oh, my, that was wonderful, Midnight.
I know.
Now, I think it's pretty good time right here to sing our grandpa song. So let's do it. Here we go. My grandpa is the smartest man I bet there ever was. He knows about most everything to know because he's been around most everywhere to see what he could see. And when I ask him questions, you can bet he answers me. Now, if you'd like to know why doggies wag their tails around, all you gotta do is ask my grandpa. He knows it. My grandpa says it's just because the tail can't wag the hound. All you gotta do is ask my grandpa. I asked him why the elephant had such a big long nose. And Grandpa says, now, sonny boy, just why do you suppose? In case he has to sneeze, he doesn't want to be too close. All you gotta do is ask my grandpa.
Grandpa, can you tell me why George Washington always slept on the second floor of his house?
Sure, his bed was up there.
Grandpa?
What now, young'un?
If I was to give you $1 and Grandma was to give you $2, how much money would you have?
I'd have just $1.
Oh, Grandpa, you don't know your arithmetic.
Shucks, young'un, you don't know your grandma. If anybody wants to know how everything should go, all you gotta do is ask my grandpa. He knows it. He knows just how to keep the ice from melting all the snow. All you gotta do is ask my grandpa. My grandma makes him go to church with her, for goodness sake. And when they pass the collection box, he knows how much to take. He says our preacher yells so loud to keep himself awake. All you gotta do is ask my grandpa. Oh, my. Oh, my grandpa is a honey, isn't he?
My grandpa's name is Tom.
Oh, is that so, Midnight the Cat? Your grandpa's name is Tom? Tom who?
Tom Cat.
Tom Cat. Oh, for goodness sake, of course. Now I'll sing my song, I will, I will. Okay, Froggy the Gremlin, you can play your thingamajig and sing right after we do our jingle. And here it is. I got shoes, you've got shoes, everybody's got to have shoes. But there's only one kind of shoes for me. Oh, yes, sir, and this is the last call, buddies. This is the last call for that rip-snorting deluxe comic book smiling head, and your Buster Brown dealers are giving you free when you come to my big school day's jamboree. The kids are really grabbing them up, and I want you all to have one. So be sure to go to the big doings at your Buster Brown store this week. It'll be just a few days now before school starts. And you want to be one of the gang, and all of the gang will be wearing Buster Brown shoes back to school on the very first day. So get Mother or Dad to take you to your Buster Brown shoe man right away. So we'll all be going back to school singing that good old Buster Brown song. I got shoes, you got shoes, everybody's got to have shoes. But there's only one kind of shoes for me. Good old Buster Brown shoes. And now Froggy the Gremlin is going to play his thingamajig and sing the song he put on Capitol Phonograph Records for us. It's called Funny Things. Are you ready, Froggy the Gremlin?
I'm ready, I am.
Okay, press your magic twanger and become visible so we can watch you sing. Watch him closely over there, kid. Watch him. My goodness, there he comes. There he is. Did you ever see such a mess in your life? He's just a sight. Now you get up there at the microphone, Froggy, and sing your song.
thing about the little duck. Well, go ahead. The duck gets such a funny little bird, because when he sings, he walks. He wears two paddles on his feet and sits down when he walks. Just squats right down. Now a thing about the bumblebee.
Well, go ahead.
Dealers right away. And remember, it's your last chance for book number 9. Don't forget church or Sunday school and be listening next Saturday for this little tune from Hollywood. When you hear it, come around. The happy gang of Buster Brown now leaves the earth. The happy gang of Buster Brown now leaves the earth. The one for us buddies next Saturday will come with a bang and a big...
The Buster Brown Show, starring Smiling Ed McConnell, is produced in Hollywood by Frank Sam and is directed by Hobart Gunnerman. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.